All right. If you are being filled with the knowledge of his will, say amen.
Amen.
If you are walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If you have understanding in the word that is coming for this evening, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that the word of God will come to you, speaking to your own particular situation, giving you understanding, insight, and causing you to move faster forward, say amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
Awesome.
I said the Lord is good.
Awesome.
Okay, let's continue teaching the word of God. He said, fight the good fight of faith. That's what he said to him. He said, take hold of eternal life to which you were called. And you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the fight of faith, the issue of faith is a fight. That is, life will not give it to you easily. You have to take it by force. And what we have been looking at is the fact that even though we are believing, oftentimes in our lives we find unbelief cropping up, trying to bring down the results of our faith. And we have a duty to ensure that that does not happen. And that's what we have been looking at, that we have to fight unbelief. We have to fight unbelief. We have to take it as a matter of seriousness. One of the things I found out is that the Bible says that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, you know, when James was speaking. And there's something about it that's very important for us to understand. When he was saying it, I like the way the Amplified says it. Let me just read from the Amplified Bible quickly. When he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's the book of James. That's chapter 5. I'm reading from verse... what he was telling us is the fact that Elijah was a man like us. He said, but he prayed. So verse 16 says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults. And pray also for one another. I jumped a few words there. That you may be healed and restored. He said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. That is, it is dynamic in its working. This is James here writing. And I read this from the Amplified Bible to emphasize the words that he said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Now, why did I choose the word heartfelt? The fact is that if something is very important to you and something touches your heart, I want to give you as, is it the news or the word of God again today? God actually answers prayers. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, the Bible says that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The fact is that God actually answers prayers. If the result of your prayer hasn't come to you, listen to this. It is not because God didn't hear or God did not answer. It is because certain things are constituting themselves into obstructions on the way. We know the story of Daniel, that for a time he went to pray, and for 21 days the answer to his prayers was hindered. Now listen to this. The day the angel saw him, the angel said to him, the first day you prayed, you were heard. And then I was sent, all right? That is, your answer was dispatched, but something held me. Now, in that particular situation, he talked about the prince of Persia that withheld him, and, all right, that caused him to wait for 21 days. And then, you know, you must understand spiritual dynamics are very interesting. When I say interesting now, when did that angel finally get the freedom to come? What happened? Can you remember? Can you remember? Speak loud if you can remember. All right. Michael was sent. So the question is that, why did the Lord wait 21 days to send Michael? Now, we don't have a straightforward answer in that particular passage in the book of Daniel. But one thing is sure, in my experience with spiritual things, is that it may have had to do with certain prayers that Daniel said in the 21 days that it caused the Lord to dispatch Michael. It may be that Daniel got some backup warriors praying with him, and then they said prayers that Daniel himself did not say. It is possible. It is possible that there had to be a proof of Daniel's earnestness, all right? Your earnestness is often shown by your patience. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Your earnestness. So maybe there had to be a proof of the earnestness of Daniel before God will release Michael to go and help the other angel. I don't know. But one thing I know for certain is that the very first day Daniel prayed, he was heard. And the answer was dispatched. but something constituted a hindrance, all right, to the answer. And the issue there is for us to note is that if we pray today also, we have been heard. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
if something is important to you and you speak about it to the Lord, in fact, Jesus said something to us there in the book of Matthew chapter 6. He said that even before you ask, God knew that you needed those things. All right, even though he were under many circumstances, he expects you to ask. Asking is like issuing forth your authority to say, God, intervene in my life. You understand? So before you even say it, he already knows that you need the thing. So he's keeping the answer waiting. That's what the Lord Jesus told us. All right? And even then, he said that we should not go ahead praying about some issues, that they are mundane things. All right? That the Father knows that you need all of those things. Yet, I'm bringing an issue here. So why can't we lack them a lot of times? That's my emphasis. It is not because he didn't hear. It is not because he didn't send the answer. It is because oftentimes something will constitute a hindrance in our receiving the answer. And the one we are talking about again is unbelief. It's unbelief. I just feel like digressing a bit from this core issue of unbelief to tell us the kind of things that hinder our answers from coming. Number one, sometimes you are not ready to hold the answer. That is very important. Sometimes you are not ready to hold the answer. You just are not ready. And the good Lord in his infinite with mercies and everlasting kindness, all right? He knows. He knows what you don't know. There are things that God will do for you, and the thing will not be a blessing. That's a matter of fact. There are prayer points that you pray. That's why faith is so important in prayer. Faith is so important. You just have to trust that God knows what he's doing. You just have to trust. You just have to trust. You may be asking God for money, and he's saying to you, you don't need money. It's not because money is not good, or more money will not be a blessing generally to people, but it looks at your situation, say, what do you need? I know what you want. Want is determined by a lot of things. For example, you know fashion. You know what they call fashion? Yes. Fashion is dictated simply by an important person who wears something. That is all. Then everybody starts wanting it. Why? Somebody painted a picture in their minds. That's just what it is. You know, I remember when I was a young boy, when Akeem released a film, Coming to America. I don't know how many of you remember. Yes. And there was a particular scene in that film. His father arrived from, is it Mulumbu, Mulamba, whatever country he came from. All right. Zamunda. All right. Thank you. And they arrived in New York. And the father came in this convoy of S-Class Mercedes-Benz cars, you know. There was the way the thing looked. Instantly, I fell in love with it. That is, it was instant love. When Mercedes-Benz changed the design of S-Class and they came out with the Beast, I was one of those that were disappointed. That how can you change the body that I love? Are you getting my point? Because they changed that body. Don't ask me what happened. I just saw that thing. There was one thing about it that just stuck in my heart. And that was the car I wanted to drive. The reason why I liked the first Lexus was that the first Lexus LS400, all right, took the same general shape as the old Mercedes Benz, you know, that's 500 SEL. You know, I was so angry. I remember when they came out with the Beast. I said, "What kind of nonsense is this?" What was nonsense in my heart was that the thing I loved, they had discontinued the body. You know, that's my point. What was it doing for me? I don't know. What is inside? I have no idea. Are you getting my point? I don't think I'd ever been inside one at that time. No. I don't know what it looked like that is inside. I just saw it in a film. That was it. Love. Sharp, sharp. Are you getting my point? There are a lot of things we want. They are determined by funny things. I've given one a funny one. There are some that are even more, more real. For example, somebody has a fear, all right? It may just be fear of poverty. And you see all these things, he's wanting to go to one country or the other. It is not because he loves that country. It's just that he loves the financial flow that will come from his presence there. Okay? And then now, so the good Lord, and I keep on emphasizing this, the good Lord is able to see beyond the thing that you... Do you know something that you know? You don't even know what your problem is. Do you know that? You understand that? Sometimes you don't even know what the issue is. That's why psychologists sit down, all right, trying to do, what do you call it now? They try to counsel people to find out what is deep inside their hearts that's really guiding, you know, their decisions. Why is the fellow behaving the way he's behaving? The fact is that sometimes you don't even know what is disturbing you, what is making you ask for some things. But the good Lord knows. If you believe that, say amen. He knows. He knows what you don't know about yourself. He knows. There are people who want to marry this kind of man. If they tell you the reason, you'll be embarrassed. Even though they can't tell God. One of my classmates does this. And one of my colleagues. He just decided that he was short. So his wife had to be very tall. That's all. The day he said it, I was like, are you okay? And he just made up his mind. And for that reason, when he's praying for a tall woman, you don't know what his problem. Some people decide that, look, I'm too yellow. My wife or my husband must be black. Some is the other way around. I'm too black. My wife or my husband must be yellow. Is yellow a correct way to describe a human being? Why are you saying no? This is Nigeria. Fair is not an issue. It's yellow. No, people ask, that is, you see some people, you know, they have, there are people who are praying for prosperity, eh? Because when they married, their mother-in-law looked down on them. So the guy is working hard now just to show that woman. That's all, though. He doesn't want money for anything. Normally, he's not the kind of person that cares about such things. But, hey, man, see shame. Because I can't marry Angela. She has to look down on me like this. So just wants to make money. That is, the first money he makes, he goes to buy one huge, gigantic, useless car. Useless to him. Just to go and show to somebody who God doesn't care about the fellow's opinion of you. That you have arrived. There are those who are praying, building house. Why? Because a relative, either their own parents or their parents-in-law, must just come and see the house and say, after all, we are not failures like you people think. In case you don't know, those things are very bad. What did I say? They are very bad. Tell your neighbor, bad. It makes God angry. Yeah, he doesn't like the idea. If you think I'm a failure, it's your problem. As long as God doesn't think so, as long as I'm critically appraising my life and I'm making the kind of progress that is pleasing to God. Are you getting my point? What you think, I'm talking about unbelief. You know, last time I talked about unbelief in which I give two sides to it. One in which faith is confidence is founded on a wrong premise. You understand what I'm saying? I said, but that's not the main one I was talking about. Okay, what we refer to, all right, in that one, it was that a man says, I'm going to prosper because I have tithed and I have given. I have done well. That is confidence on the wrong premise. Your confidence for prosperity must be the sacrifice of Jesus. We now said some people, the issue is that they feel they can't receive anything, all right, because they have not yet done enough to merit it, forgetting that Jesus indeed has done everything, all right, to merit it. Now, I'm going to, you know, just now, something came to my mind, this issue of unbelief. Sometimes you find that unbelief, again, is generated by the fact that people allow other things around to determine for them what their lives should be like. Are you getting my point? That is, what somebody thinks of me is what is deciding whether I'm a success or I'm a failure. Therefore, that one generates, again, unbelief. I'm talking about something here. These things, they distract people from following the will of God for their life. So we have to do what? Fight them. If you have to wake up in the morning, buy a mirror, you know. Wake up in the morning, face the mirror, and talk to the mirror. You know, of course, if you're talking to the mirror, you're talking to yourself, all right? You stand in front of the mirror and tell the mirror, look, you are a blessing. God has blessed you. You are not a failure in Christ. That is, talk to the thing until confidence in what God has made you builds up inside you. There are days you have to go out, wear your worst shirt, worst pair of trousers, a pair of bathroom slippers, go to the bank, go to important places to just to cure yourself of the need to look good. I don't know what I get to say. Maybe always you're under pressure to look good. And there was one woman that came to preach in Enugu at that time. She said that the school her children go to. Now, rich, her husband is rich. Rich people's school. So, to, you know, I don't know, some people are just not normal. Human beings, they just are not normal. These are rich people. They now start competing who is richer. And the richness is not true riches. It's not even fake riches. You know, like Naira is fake riches. Dollar is fake riches. True riches is spiritual riches. You understand what I'm saying? It's not even that level of Naira and Kobo. It is, they now use, you have to show something. So women are going to pick children in school. They dress up, paint their nails, wear all the jewelry to go and pick children in school. Today you carry children to school with Lexus. Tomorrow it has to be with a Mercedes Benz. The following day it's a BMW. Then that you go with a G class. You know, you just change the cars so that people will see that your children have your, you have different cars. So the woman said, "All right." She decided to cure herself and everybody around her. So she went out to visit with jeans or something and bathroom slippers and took a bike. If it's car, she has it. He said, "But let's stop this nonsense." So I arrived in the school at the, on the back of a motorbike wearing a pair of jeans and a pair of slippers. "All right, if you want to insult me, go ahead. Whether this will now make my husband your husband, my children your children, my money your money, I don't know." No, once in a while in life, you just need to do that thing. Do you understand? I say this in a lot of times to people that, especially in this our culture around here, that Christmas time, everybody goes to the village and you want to arrive properly. You should go to village one day deliberately looking your worst. Lose weight 1 month beforehand. I'm serious, fast. Fast well, well, so that you will lose weight. Don't shave so that you'll be looking strong, you know? If you have a car, leave it in Enugu. You understand my point? You know, take a taxi, take a bus, go home that day. And arrive when everybody has arrived. Arrive late. Once you've done that once or twice, you know, go like that 3 days. After that, you have been cured. Everybody has seen that you are very poor. You have displayed to them how poor you, in fact, though you are not as bad as that, but at least let them think the worst now that you are at the lowest level. You are not under pressure to impress anybody. One of the greatest sources of unbelief in people's lives is when they have set up those kind of standards and God has to now move at the pace that they are dictating. It's unbelief. I said, look, you have to just learn that God has heard you. You have to trust. You just have to trust that he has heard. You just have to trust that he will manifest his blessing, his glory in the due time. You just have to trust. You just have to trust. That's just Christianity. You just trust. If you don't trust, you understand, then you don't have a hope. You get my point? God really can't do anything for you. The fact that the angel didn't arrive in 21 days doesn't change the fact that God heard the first day. I was saying, one of the things that, sometimes you're not ready for it. You think you are. The society says you are. But you just are not ready. At the age of 40 thereabout, Moses decided that he was ready to deliver Israel. We're not talking about Moses now, but one thing is sure, Moses knew he was supposed to deliver Israel. Because if you read the story, his father and his mother, they knew that he was a special child, which means that if you know the scriptures, the way it works, those guys were not walking in our own kind of spirit. I perceive in my spirit, you understand? They didn't have that kind of spiritual perception that many of us hang on these days. When they knew he was a special child, it was because an angel told them he was. It was because a prophet visited them and told them he was. So they knew. That's what gave the, don't think that woman was crazy. That was what gave the woman the confidence to put the boy on the waters. That's why they schemed the way they did. And of course, God finally returned the boy to them to nurse up to a particular level. So Moses already knew what he was supposed to do. At the age of 40, he decided that he was ready. But this one, now I can do it. But you and I know the rest of the story. The moment he went out to do it, what happened to him? Everything failed. Finally, God had to tell him, of course, remember the Bible says that he didn't leave because of fear. He left because God led him to leave Egypt and he went into the wilderness. By the time he gave up completely was when God said he's ready. You get what I'm saying? It was when he gave up and said, "I'm not doing it again." Listen, sometimes in your life, you have to get to the point of, "I know they do it again." Yes, you have to get to that point that I'm not doing it again. I'm not concerned anymore. Let it not happen. Forget it. They want to be in captivity. Let them be there forever. I tried to deliver them. They couldn't even support me. They were insulting me. Captivity. Let them stay there forever. They'll be slaves. When they got to that point, God now looked and said, he's ready. For those of us human beings, it is when you are strongest that you are ready. But for God, it was when he was weakest that he was ready. When he was tired, when he had lost confidence that he couldn't speak eloquently anymore, when he was no longer interested, when age was not on his side, that was when God said, you are ready. So when I'm saying that you may not be ready for some things, don't think that it's not possible. I know I'm ready. Let me tell you something. You know, you see things, you hear words, and depending on the kind of spiritual state or understanding your heart, you pick things differently. There was a musical I saw some time ago by this fellow, what's his name? One of these greatest dancers of all time in America. MC Hammer, yes. Now, I saw a musical, all right, by that man, MC Hammer, all right, some time ago. And there's a part of it I really like. It was this film, this track, Too Legit to Quit. So that was the first, I've heard MC Hammer can dance. That was my first time I was seeing MC Hammer. Now, in the beginning of that musical, he said something which, I saw this in 1993, and it never left my mind. He was practicing to, according to him, go and reclaim the glove. You know, just a play, you know. And finally, he went into a great judgment hall, something like that, to go and see the Godfather, to see whether he was ready. That's what struck me. He went in there, knocked, they said he should come in. He entered, and he knelt down, and he said, am I ready, Godfather? You know, I'm a student of the scriptures, you understand? So anything I see, that's how I interpret it, scriptures. I said, Jesus, this man didn't come in saying, now I'm ready. Are you getting what I'm saying? Typical Christianity is, now I'm ready. This is the time, I'm ready now. The man went in and said, am I ready? Then the Godfather now answered him and said, oh, you've been ready for a while. And then he told him some things, then poured an anointing upon him, you know. I'm using the word anointing now, all right? Then he went to go and reclaim his whatever it is by dancing. But the point I remember is the fact that this man asked the question, am I ready? Let me tell you the truth, in your life you don't know whether you are ready. The only thing you can do is to keep on going forward in your preparation. Are you getting my point? It's very important. You must never relent. The moment you say, now I am humble, it's a sign you are still proud. You hear what I said? For example, if pride is your problem, you can never get to the point of saying, I have conquered pride. The moment you say it, you have confirmed that you are proud. You know, it is said that some people are proud of their humility. What am I saying? You don't know whether you are ready or not. The only thing you can do is to just keep on getting ready. Are you getting my point? What do I mean? Keep on getting better. Whatever it is that you are believing God for, keep on qualifying yourself for that thing. I am not saying that you will do something. That's what Christians often make as mistakes. You understand? That they say, okay, I have sold enough seed. The seed you are talking about here is not whether I have given enough money or helped somebody else so that somebody else can help me. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is that, am I ready to collect and handle it? 25 years Abraham waited for Isaac. I keep on saying it was not 25 years of playing. It was 25 years of refining Abraham through all his experiences, through the encounters he was going to have with God. It was 25 years of building that old man up. 25 years. It was when he was fully built up. The Bible says that when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. When the man was built up, that was when Isaac came. If Isaac came before that time, he would have failed the test of his life. Isaac came at the appropriate time that Abraham wouldn't fail the test of God. Who was born first, Isaac or Ishmael? When Isaac was a small boy, Ishmael was a big boy. When Sarah said, drive away the bondwoman and her son. The Bible says that thing was distressing, you understand, in the eyes of Abraham. And the reason was because of his son, Ishmael. So if he had told him at that time, sacrifice Isaac,
Do you think he's going to sacrifice anybody?
What did he say? Sacrifice what? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That's what I said. What am I saying? God kept on qualifying this man. So if you see any time wasted in the life of Abraham, it was a time, and apparently wasted, it was time that God used to build him up to be able to carry the glory that was supposed to come. That's why Christians, I remember that time, Abraham was not settled, you know, I keep on saying, patience, you must know how to deal with patience. Patience in Christianity doesn't mean I'm sitting down waiting, doing nothing. While Abraham was waiting for God to bring up Isaac, he became very rich. Do you know that? He wasn't sitting down waking up every day, say, everybody, say Isaac, Isaac, say Isaac, say Isaac 15 times. Look, the man had gone to go and negotiate on land. He had gone to go and expect, you know, what they call it, sheep to buy. He was doing serious, he was getting rich. Things were happening in his household. Didn't wake up every morning nursing himself over Isaac. Wonder how why it's taking so long. No, the man was busy. Sometimes people say that God, they are waiting for God to call them to ministry. The guy is doing nothing. I don't believe God calls idle people into ministry. I don't believe it. Go and read the scriptures well. Everybody he called, they made them either where they were fishing. You understand what I'm saying? Or collecting crooked taxes. Even the one that the tax was not straight, he was collecting it. I'm telling you, many PDP members who entered the ministry before. Because, look, these guys are out campaigning. They are out doing something. Some people, they've been on mountain for the last 2 years praying that God is going to send them. God said, me? Mm-hmm. Send you? You? Forget it. Say, why not? What are you doing? Say, I'm praying. This spirituality, I've told you, sometimes it causes problems. God said, hey, you are praying. Go and ask Moses what he was doing when I called him. You are praying. Go and ask Elisha what he was doing when I called him. Listen, I will know where you are. Just go about. When I need you, I will send for you. You know, you are sitting at my door every day now. You are not going anywhere. He said, you are waiting for me because you want to enter ministry. You are not waiting for me. No, a lot of so-called preachers, they are very, very, very lazy people. I'm sorry. But it's the truth now. You listen, Abraham wasn't just sitting down idling away. That's why I tell people, look, when they tell you that there's no job in this country, if you say it, may you have swollen jaw. Say amen. Don't worry, the job will still go down. It will go down. It will just work for a short while. It will go down after. Why are you afraid? You know, I came with a message to preach today, but I just feel I should finish saying these things. If we have time, you understand, we'll get to the message I want to preach for today. But this is very important. Some people came here to hear this one today. And some people are going to click on this message. It's liberation for them. Say amen. Now that I know you have mouth to say amen, let me pray my prayer again. Anybody that says there's no work, may his mouth swell. Amen. We've already balanced that the swelling will come down again. Listen, there is abundance of work. Somebody say amen. There is abundance of work. Somebody say amen. Let me give you a few tips, all right? Before I, you know, let me just drop that and I'll get back to what I was saying. This work matter. One, don't accept to be idle. You say, what if I've looked for work, they have not employed me? Then go and volunteer. Did you hear what I said? Go and volunteer. What is it that let's as an example, you want to teach. All right, maybe as an example, you want to teach in a school. You've gone and nobody has employed you. Number one, in fact, first, go to your church. Join children's church. Start teaching. It's not children you want to teach. I'm serious. Assuming, for example, you can do computer science. You understand? Go to a school. They say they don't need a computer teacher. I said, no, you are volunteering. You start a small, go and print card. Computer training volunteer force. When you give it to them, they will believe you that you just want to help them. And really, it's not a joke that all you need for them to do is provide the computers. You will come 1 hour, maybe 2-3 times a week, and teach their pupils. They will not say no. Especially if you go to a public school.
They will not say no. Let me tell you a selfish thing to get out of it. Do you understand? Now, this is not the aim why you are doing it. You are doing it because I'm teaching you what is right to do. But I just want to tell you something you can get out of it. You can get this one out. At the end of the course you are giving them, get a testimonial that you did it for them. You understand? Like an acknowledgement, thank you for coming. Just get that one and hold it. You know what? I'm talking on natural plane now. That one counts as experience for you. If you leave school in 2014, you've not gotten a job. You now go to 2015. You go and apply for work. You say, what you have been working? You say, I've not gotten a job all this while. Nobody will employ you. You're considered unemployable. 6 years after you left university, you've done nothing. Basically, the only people that were employed in our government, you know, government, you just go and queue in state government or federal government. But private sector, they are not going to talk to you. They'll be wondering, what's wrong with this guy? You finished NYC 6 years ago, you have not done nothing. But if you tell them that, look, I have been doing computer training for primary and secondary schools, and you show them a list, instantly they know, nobody's checking, were you being paid? This is what, have you been working? A lot of people just, you know, it's because your daddy is giving you food to eat. That's the problem with sometimes our society. Food is too cheap. You know, when I say cheap now, that is somebody will give you free of charge. I don't mean cheap in the market. Is it to find free food? If you must, you know, all those your brothers and cousins that went to America, ask them. America has free food for those who are certifiably poor. You get my point? Uh-huh. But to get to where the food is free, that one, the transportation is not free. No, this life has a way of balancing out. They'll tell you go to Sam's Club at night when they are discarding food they didn't use for the day. You get enough food to eat. True. But how do I get to Sam's Club? They want to take a taxi. The taxi man said that is $20. If you had $20, you wouldn't be going looking for free food. Most of America, they don't have decent bus service or train service, the one type you have in Europe. Most of US, the one you see is mostly maybe New York, a few other places. Most of them, they don't have. That's why America, look, at the point in time, over 10% of their GDP was car manufacturing because everybody drives a car. You can't get around. What am I going to say? So you see, those your brothers and cousins that went to America, when they know, say, oh boy, wait, whose house will you stay, your own parent? That's why guys don't hang around. You see, come up for Nigeria today, they leave Nigeria with all kinds of degrees. All kinds of degrees. As soon as they get there, they get all kinds of other degrees. A lot is good. When I was named the Anderson, that was in Houston. Once they came and told me that one day that, oh, well, one of your people walk around here. And then they went and brought one Nigerian woman from Ibadan to come and greet me. Oh, so, Lema, Ekwelema, shall I be? You know, we were greeting. After some time, you know, I was trying to use that. I said, what do you do here? The woman refused to tell me. You know, I wasn't asking being direct. I was using that. She's a trained lab scientist from Nigeria. And she reached America. She was a cleaner in the department. Of course, don't clean now. You know, good job. The woman was using that. I was trying to. What I'm telling you, true. You know the way it is. Just okay, you're from Nigeria. They just came and took you. I was there for a month. This is one of your people. The woman came. You know, we're greeting each other. So I wanted to know what she did there. You know, I'm a pathologist. I'm there on the observership, all right? They were walking all kinds of cadres. The woman said, you know, when you first come, you do other things. I remember, other things. That's what she kept on telling me. Other things. And, you know, as an adult, you know not to embarrass somebody. Now you shut your mouth. Madam, they do other things, all right? Telling you. There's a story I've told you before. I've never really told this other story. This one I told you now. It's one of those days I finished work. I was going home. Slept off in the bus. I started dreaming. I didn't know it was not a dream. It was the bus driver that was singing. What do you call it? What is that song? Go sweetheart, I beg.
Jehovah is your name. Mighty warrior, great in battle. You know, I woke up. I looked around. There was no... Because my bus stop was like the last on that particular route. I was the last bus stop. It's from there they turn and go back again, you know? So we were very few left. It was a late bus. It can't be that white woman singing Jehovah is my name. Does she know what his name is? You know? Finally, I said, I now realized I can't see the driver because of the way the bus was designed. So I was looking for where I could catch the guy's face. Finally, I saw the mirror. So I checked. I said, now I want this thing. True. The man, I think he also came from Ibadan or something. So after that was my regular boss. And when I come in the morning, Ekarosa, Emma Yashel. That's why they greet the man every day. If the man come in, no good now, give him a cool city bus, he no go greet drive. He won't drive. Oh, look, people do all kinds of retraining. People will live here with master's PhD, get there, start another different course. Why? You can't just be idle. Listen, if we apply those same principles back home, haba. Anyway, let me not just start stories. Stories plenty, you know. I don't need to tell them to you. You know them. There are many, many stories. The point is this, that same principle happens everywhere. Don't be idle. Don't tell me there's no work. Don't tell me there's work. There's work. The problem is that you've queued up in the Guaranteed Trust, Zenith, UBA, you know, which is currently the most insecure job in this country. Banking job, you know now. That's why he said you've gone to MTN, Glo. That's why he said there's no work. You know, every time you are putting application in Shell. How many people will work in Shell? I'm not saying if God opens a door for you in Shell, you shouldn't take. But I'm just trying to say that if you are waiting for Shell, the years will pass, Shell will refuse to appoint you because you have not worked in the last 8 years. One of the things you fight in your CV is gaps. You know what they call gaps? You finish NYC 2010. Don't let the gap be there that between 2010 and 2014 you did nothing. Because when you go for interview, they want to know, why is this gap here? You know, say, okay, that time I went to immigration, they didn't employ me. Then if I'm on the interview panel, you forget, you've lost that job. Just go away, get out. It's better to say, look, 2010 to 2011, that is schools coordinator computer training, public school. Do you understand my point? What were you doing? We're teaching GSS 2, GSS 3, how to use basic computer word processing. Okay? Then, you know, you have no gap in your CV. When you left there, where did you now go? Okay, nobody will ask you how much are they paying you there. But the fact that you were working. And listen, the fact that many of these places, somebody will actually pay you. And sometimes when people don't pay you, you start getting ideas on what you can do for yourself. What I've told you is a matter of fact. In fact, one of the reasons why I like that book, the first one, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad. One of the first things I liked about that book when I read it was the fact that he said as a young boy, they wanted to make money. So he and his friend went and started gathering old toothpaste tubes. Not now that they use plastic, they used to be metal. So they melted it down and made a cast of coins and poured it inside. Then the coins came out. They were little boys. They didn't know that money is not the ability to manufacture the currency. It is, you know what I'm saying? They didn't know that was not what money was. So his father now said, okay, look, go and meet this other fellow. He will teach you how to make money. They went and met the richest man in their town. And the man decided to teach them how to make money. And the way the man went about teaching these little boys, even his own father felt like calling police. They're telling boys, they'll go to one of his stores, you know. They said there was no air conditioning, so the dust used to enter the whole place. So their job was every morning come and dust the things on display. And the man was paying them a ridiculous amount of money. I can't give you the exact figures now, all right, or what the real terms would be compared to today. But let's just take in Nigeria today. Say maybe you're paying the children 10 naira an hour. In Nigeria today, you're like, what kind of nonsense is this? So they worked like that for days. Finally, they went and met the man that they are looking for a raise. Their money has to be increased. So now, as soon as they arrived, the man said, I've been waiting for you people. I knew the day will come that you will come and do this.
because this is what they all do. That's what the man said. So they were like, ah, this man is not even feeling bad. So what is the next stage of our training? The next stage of our training now that even that $10 an hour you're not getting again. Now you're going to work for free. But you see, what the man was doing, he was training them in being resourceful. He was training them in not being dependent on somebody else. That's what he was doing. So after giving them some lectures, he said, go back to work. What are you going to pay us? You increase money? I'm not increasing, I'm decreasing it. Henceforth, no pay. Hey! But they had to keep on coming to work. The man's son and this Robert Kiyosaki, they kept on coming to work. He said, was there along the line one day, he just had an idea. He just found that the old comics were discarded because the comics would come out every week. So that the one they didn't sell last week, was not going to be sold this week anymore. What will he do? Can he take the old ones? Yes, he just started a small library where children paid tiny amounts of money to come and read comics free in his house. As a little boy, that was how he began to do business. Because nobody was paying him anything. That's why I said, look, let nobody tell you that there's no work. There's work. There's work. Guarantee Trust may not employ everybody, but there's work. Do you get my point? Federal government may not employ everybody, there's work. The oil companies may not employ everybody, but there's work. What is work? The ability to exercise yourself and not have a blank space in your CV. That's the new invention of definition of work. Listen, I'm telling you now. You know, we're talking about fighting unbelief. I've digressed now into fighting unemployment. Fight the gap in your CV. Are you getting my point? Even if you want to work for yourself, let me give you another idea. Register your business early. So that if they say, what were you doing? You were project coordinator for Personal Investment Corporation. Do you understand my point? No, I'm serious. And you're not trying to deceive people, though. You must have there must be something you do. Even if it's to go from one welder to the next welder, giving public health lectures on how to wear goggles. It sounds funny. But you know, you are saving people's eyes. Look, it is while you are doing that, you will discover your own comic business. Are you getting my point? Don't just sit at home. Say, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, my job is coming. Amen, it's coming. Job, coming. The job. Never tell me about unemployment. If anybody said there's no job in Nigeria again, that the person said, we had prayed that there will be a swollen mouth, but let's not wait for God to slap you by himself. I can do it. Why are you slapping me? To fulfill the word that was spoken, the mouth must be swollen. Tell your neighbor there's work. There's work. Listen, honestly, there is work. I want you to get, if you're telling yourself I don't have a job, tell yourself after today's, that it by Saturday, today's Tuesday, that by this Saturday I'm working. That by this Saturday I'm working. If you go to one block industry, say you want to be personnel coordinator to ensure that the guys who are making block works. The owner will first look at you whether you're okay. Then you quickly prove to him, so how many hours of the day are you here? What is the productivity of your staff? You do small calculation for him, your blocks. You know, by the time you tell him, say, I'm not, look, okay, look, at the end of the day, okay, what do you want? Just give me a few blocks, I'll sell it myself. Look, you don't, this is how things start to. Tell yourself, by Saturday, I'm working. By Saturday, I'm working. There are many things, look. The Lord is good. Let me just keep quiet. Do you know many businesses? What am I doing today? It's not fighting unbelief. No, I'm fighting unemployment. Do you know there are many people who are doing businesses and stuff, all right? And maybe they are producing something. Who will just help them distribute this is what they are looking for, and their business will grow. And they can't find honest people. Do you know if you honesty alone can be your CV? Honesty can be your CV. Now, these people know that, no, if you give that guy goods, Nothing we miss. Nothing we miss. Don't worry about it. No, nothing we miss. If he tells us he sold 500, it's 500. He won't sell 600 and tell us stories. No, nothing we miss. One day, one of our brothers, he has a company. He told me something one day which I found very interesting. He said, my business is going to do well now. I said, why? He said, because a man that has a family just resigned to this, that's from where he was working, to distribute this thing. That they just said, the fact that a man who has responsibility is going to take this thing up, so this is a sign that we are going to do well. That is one man's decision. Give another man hope. And that's why I'm talking about work. Look, don't believe this nonsense that there's no work. There's work. What did I say? There's plenty of it. There's plenty of it. Many of these big businesses don't have a good accounting system. Just go in. Look. Don't think. No, I said something to you at the beginning. You know, one brother told me something the other day. Some people will tell you that you told me this. I said I did. The counsel is sound. You understand? But I can't even remember the idea going through my head. Do you get my point? We're talking about work and all of that, and this issue of I have a calling. This is not my passion. This is what I'm passionate about. So I said, look, those things have stages. So do you understand? When you are hungry, what you are passionate about is unimportant. Did you hear what I said? When you are hungry, your passion is secondary. This is not my calling. It's for people who have eaten. If if you haven't eaten, forget that nonsense of this is not my calling. So I was talking with one of our friends, one brother. We were talking on the phone. Then he told me that, okay, that you told me this thing those days. That he came to me after one of our conventions, or during one of our conventions, that he's not working currently, that this is the kind of job he would like to do, and he hasn't gotten that job yet, but that maybe opportunities were opening. And I told him that, listen, my friend, this was what he said I said. I couldn't remember saying it. He said, but that's what you told me, and it worked for me. He said, I told him that there is a distance between subsistence farming. What's the correct word? Subsistence. Say it for me, please, my sister. Subsistence farming. So I told him that there's a difference between subsistence farming and commercial farming. That a subsistence farmer farms to just take care of himself, his family, immediate needs. Then commercial is when things want to blow big. He said, I told him that, oh boy, any job you get now is subsistence farming. That when you have been subsistended, are you getting my point? You can now be opening your eyes to commercial farming. I said, I told you that. He said, yes, you said so. I said, no, I agree with the concept, but I couldn't remember saying it. But it makes sense. That I told him that simply, forget this, your passion, your calling. Bros, for now, any job that you can do well and bless somebody with and be responsible in it. Listen, who told you being a shepherd was David's calling? David's calling that we know was to be a music writer, an instrumentalist, music producer, and then a king. That's the calling we know. But since nobody was paying anybody to sing psalms, do you get my point? The man had to keep sheep. The man was tending sheep. It was while he was tending sheep. They used to go around the neighborhood, you know, singing songs, playing instruments. They heard that the king fell sick. They said, there's one boy who used to play instruments. Some people come and they say, one day I was in the office, somebody came, talked to my neighbor. That's my colleague in the office. After he left, I told my colleague, what was he looking for? He said, this boy doesn't understand. The boy said he's looking for money to do his video. That he's a musician. That if he does video, they can put it on and then he will not become well known. I say, you see, that's the problem when it's easy for you to just beg for money. I say, if it's not easy for you to beg for money, you have to beg for your brain to work. Let me give this idea to anybody listening to this who says that he's a musician. Listen, how many of you know, I don't know the details of his life, but I just want to explain something to you. How many of you know Flavor? He's the most famous Enugu musician in the world today. True of us? He's one of the most famous Nigerian musicians in the world. But for Enugu, we know he guaranteed. Okay, Two-Face also came from Enugu. IMT. Now, he was in IMT. Two-Face was in IMT. I know he's from Benue State, but I mean, it's like telling me I'm a preacher from Mundo. You smoke something. I'm a preacher from Enugu. You understand my point? And Enugu idea here. So anyway, but you get my idea. One day I was here, someone was telling me about that Flavor. That Apollo Park, Flavor they play before. Anywhere where people gather for night, Flavor is there play. Now just boy around. Are you getting my point? He was doing demo video for who? Who gave him money to do demo video? But they look for money to do demo food. You are talking about So look, that my colleague that they said that that the guy didn't get the money, and he felt very bad because for certain reasons he felt that, look, why are you guys only just collecting? I said, you should tell the guy to see me, that I will give him sound counsel, that if indeed you have the talent, just go and meet Stanley. Stanley does printing, so he will print invitation card for wedding, he will print program. Just say, who is this person? Collect like 10 different people like that from, and go and meet all of them. I will play at your wedding. You say, how much? Well, anything you like, just give me at the end. Number one thing is sure, just go with three boys. Wedding food, now go chop in a portion. Souvenir, you go collect. What are you talking about? No, you know that Saturday, food is not a problem. In fact, now you're their friend, you start from the traditional on Friday. No, I don't know, people don't know how to eat free food. You will eat well. Look, I've come with divine wisdom for you today. I mean, look, you eat, if all they give you is food, you go collect souvenir. You drag three of your friends along, say, guys, let's go and eat. At the end of the day, if you really know how to sing, all these songs there, you must go to the studio and say, you know, sabi. If you really know how to sing, when it's time they give, you don't have to write any new songs. Just all the ones that the other guys have done, just do them for their life. Nobody go pay DJ. They will have hired their own equipment and stuff like that. You just play music for them. Do MC for them if you can. The idea is this is free advertisement. This is free advertisement. And then someone say, and please, have your card. Card is very cheap. You can print it out by yourself on paper. Cut it like this and just print. What is on it? I've told you, register your business. If you've not registered it, look for one name nobody can register. Okukumaiko Enterprises. You know, things like... Have a phone number. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Somebody say, that's very nice. If we need you, how do we reach you? Hand the guy the card. One day somebody will call you. The fellow who calls you is the first person you bill. Did you hear what I said? The fellow that calls you is the first person you bill. Up to that time, you don't bill anybody. When you are the one coming to ask for the favor, why should you bill them? Now you just like a preacher, honorarium. Anything they give you, anything. And when they say anything, you mean anything. If you finish and they give you $2,000, you will thank them very well. And you leave the place. He said, what will I eat during the week when there is no wedding? There is no problem. There is something else you can do. Go to one place and help them play small instrument or clean their table. It's a restaurant. You know, I love restaurant work. Why? Free food. What's your problem? You will not have to buy food. You see, they have a saying in Western Nigeria that when food is not part of your poverty has ended. You know the proverb?
Yes.
That your poverty does not include eating. That your poverty is over. Just go somewhere where you just help somebody. That one keeps you weekend. Listen, let me tell you the truth. You behave like this, God blesses you. One day you will tell the story to encourage young people. That is when they will not say, because this is how you grow. You see small boys, you know, one day they were doing a program, I don't even know where. I think it was in, one of my friends was doing a show or so. I can't even remember exactly where now. So one young woman went and met him, that place, that she wants to sing. So the guy says, no problem, put her name on the list.
The day of the program, he now called and said, when are they coming to pick her? The guy laughed. Coming to pick you. Better find your way down. You know, she feels like a star. In fact, he was telling me later. He said, she was asking me that, which car is coming to pick her? He just laughed. Can't come to pick you. Better go and look for Keke Napep to drop you. Can't come to pick you. You're not serious. Look, that is a very wrong thing to do. You ask for the slot, be happy they gave it to you. That's what I'm trying to say. The first person you bill is the person who calls you and say, can you do this for us? And then please, don't be greedy. Because you hear that Alibaba collects 5 million naira a show, does not mean everybody is willing to give 5 million naira for a show. Doesn't mean you deserve 5,000 naira a show. Do you get my point? Increase your price only when it is used to knock people off. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is like, look, I have 4 calls for that particular weekend. Guys, sorry, I can't take this amount. Who's giving me 20K? It starts for me like that. When they pay you 20K for a few hours program, you know you are made. It starts going up. But people will sit down, they go and say, bro, please, what can you give me so I can do my demo? Do you know how many people are doing demo in town? You know, because you are here, you don't realize the number of people they are doing demo. You know, any profession that does not collect certificates before they start, you can be everybody's doing it. That's why churches are starting every day, because you can start Kingdom World Ministries, you don't need anybody's permission. In the same manner, have you ever seen, where's your certification for voice training? Is there anything like that? No, you just start singing. So everybody is singing. In fact, some people hand you free CD sometimes, you go listen to the CD. The only person I can tell the truth is my wife. I said, this person gave me CD. You want to tell the person, say, please, find another line of profession. This one, you're not called. No, you've gone to airports. There's small boys to come and say, please, encourage us. Sometimes you just give them money, collect their CD. You get home, you watch it for 10 seconds, you carry it, break it, put it in the dustbin. So, look, what I'm going to say is this. Listen. Many people are doing demo. Are you getting my point? Like I always say, you must be known for what you do. Hey, Olainka. Today's supposed to be preaching on what? Unbelief. Unbelief through unemployment. Oh, God. And I had a good message for you today on unbelief. From Matthew chapter 14. When Peter was going to sink, I have something to say to this. Seriously, I was going to explain that where you are looking is what determines the kind of fear. But right now, the thing is not entering. So let's continue this one. Oh, the Lord is good. I want to make a point concerning this employment thing. Listen to this. Whatever you are doing in life, make sure you are known for it. What do I mean? If you are a musician, and people around have not heard you sing, you're not a singer. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
So your effort must be put into what? Singing. Not recording album. There's a difference. That's why we make a mistake. Look for opportunity to do what? Sing. Many people that you laugh at these days, go and read their history. They were singing. Many people are just inside studio. And when you're inside studio, you are the only one hearing yourself. You paid the studio, so they don't care whether you're coming there to croak like a frog. They will collect their money. Come back tomorrow, they will collect again. I'm telling you, they will keep collecting. No, honestly, okay, let's even talk about something like these two faces we're talking about. Those who were in Enugu, they knew the guy that used to sing on campus. Look, this is your friend, the band. The guy was in choir. You know, the band was in choir. As much as I don't like the guy, I think Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. That's his problem. But the fact is that, look at their... Go and read this book, Outliers. They will tell you that those who became great have done this thing for at least 10,000 hours.
Just by the way, let me just say this. Well, the first day when I came to town here, of course, nobody knew I was. I used to share tracts here and there. Then one day, Pastor Eddie Nelson, the rock, asked me whether I would preach on Sunday first service. I said, no problem. Then that Sunday, I came to church, and I preached. If I tell you what happened, immediately he just said, please, wait behind, you're preaching second service. But at the end, when I came, they were looking at me. They're like, this is why you can't preach like this. And I was looking at that, I didn't know what was their problem. They thought because I just come to church every Sunday and sit down, they didn't know how many hours of preaching I put in since I was a university student in 1989. That is, I was a student from 85, university. But 89, I started preaching on campus. The story I'm telling you was 2002, thereabout. I've been preaching since 89. So the first day you hear me preaching, as if I just came out of nowhere because I used to just come and sit down in church. Do you know what I do normally? Ask how I take marry this girl. I preach charm until she gave her life to. Now preach at this girl, Mary. I'm telling you. You know, people don't know them. The Lord is good. I'm telling you. One young man came to meet me one day. He wanted to know how to, remember scripture and quote scriptures and all of that. I was looking at him. I explained some things. And then when I was leaving, I just said, come here. I said, this one you're asking. Thought just flashed through my mind that you are thinking of me. You want to talk like me. He agreed. I said, that's the case. I told him, look, my friend, I've been studying the scriptures like my life depended on it since 1987. Actually, I started reading Christian literature around 86. But when I went into studying, when I joined crazy people in the world of faith, was 87. I started preaching 1989. Oh boy, if I'm the one, don't think I just woke up yesterday, learned a few tricks, and then you saw me preaching. I've been doing this thing for a very long time. So look, people don't realize. You know why I went into all of that? If you say not singing, you sing. Make sure you are singing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Make sure your mouth is not closed. If you're a Christian, join choir. If it's a church, where the choir know they sing, you understand? Go to another church. You came there to sing that also. Listen. If you're a student on campus, every opportunity, your friends are doing best days, you understand? They want to do a program in your fellowship or your friends, your club. Make sure you sing. Weddings, look for opportunity to crash into every wedding possible where they will let you sing. Make sure you're singing every day, even if they're not giving you that regularly, even if they're not paying you money. Look for something, if it's to be cleaning tables somewhere, to get food to eat, make sure you do that. But please, don't go around looking for money because you want to do demo. Nonsense. Look, let me tell me that there's no work. Listen to me. There's work. What did I say? Some people you say, I can do interior decor. You are not giving me a car to come and patronize you. You know what I need? Okay, like I have furniture in my house, all right, of course, like most of us do. The one I have currently, how did we get it? It was simply because my wife went to visit and she saw the furniture there. Are you getting what I say? And told her friend, who made this? The woman said, okay, so person, can I have his address? Came home, told me, so the next thing I knew was that, went to the guy's shop, talk. That next thing, the guy made furniture, put in my house. Did I have his card? No. I saw his furniture somewhere. If you say you did do interior decor, like now, we don't want anybody to decorate anything for us more than the one Bishop has done here, amen? But I just want to give an idea. You walk in some place like this, here, an interior decor person, you are already looking like, sir, we can improve this, we can do it like this. And don't ask me to pay you any money. Because I like it the way it is. One day, one man wrote me a mail. This is our early days on Cosmo FM. He said that he's a voiceover artist. And that he can help us do voicing for the intro and the conclusion of our radio broadcast for a small fee. in my mind, the person who did this one did not collect any fee. And I like it. Nobody has complained to me that it is bad. Once you put for a small fee, I lose interest because I'm not desperate looking for something. What am I saying? You come to a place and say, we can improve this, we can do it like that. I say, okay, how do we go about it? Say, we just need to buy these materials. Do you think we can? Let me buy the materials. And then at the end of the day, if I don't offer you anything, don't ask for anything. After all, I did not complain about my place before. However, if you are that good, somebody will come one day and say, who did this? You get what I'm saying? What am I trying to say? So, you know you can do interior, do for your friends. They are moving to new houses. Go and do for them. It is not just because you want to advertise. That's not the issue now. The issue is that you must be busy doing. You can't let a gap be in your life. You're not doing anything. If you have a skill, make sure you are practicing that skill daily, on a regular basis. Every opportunity, show, you know, put your foot in. You know, see some preachers, they are looking for a great open door. I'm about to invite them to come and preach in America. Only. That's the only reason. All this, look, this campus fellowships, you know how many there are? University of Benin, they want to consolidate their fellowships. They said they have over 100. School authorities, they are tired. Yeah, they want to cap it now to 30. So that's the issue now. How do they go forward? Many of these fellowships, they are looking for somebody who can preach. Go and preach for them. If it's preacher, you are, make sure you are doing what? You are preaching. If it's singer, you are, make sure you are doing what? You are singing. If you're a businessman, you say, I'm looking for who will invest in my business. Obviously, you have no business you want to do. That's why. That is why. Listen, if you are waiting for big money to start business, you will not make money. Because every business has a period of training. Are you getting my point? During the period of training, you lose money. There's no prayer that says you won't lose money. So it's better to lose money when it is 100 naira, 200 naira, 300, than when somebody gives you 5 million naira, you go and lose 5 million. You know, if you are owing 500 naira, it's not the same as when you are owing 5 million. You are getting what I'm trying to say? I'm a businessman. Businessmen are known not because they are doing big business. You see Dangote today. Do you know where he started from? When we were young, in my town there was one man, very big man. I don't know why I say big now, not size now. I'm talking about rich. Had money. Plenty. I remember those days when my father bought his 504, brand new. 7,700 naira. My father bought his own 504. 7,700. This man bought his own car, Mercedes Benz. 75,000 naira, I remember. When a Browning 504 was 7,500, a man bought his SEL for 75. It was the talk of town. That this one man's car could buy 10 of these other civil servants' cars. You understand my point? But one day I was talking, my mother said something that when they came to town, that when my parents first moved down to that town, they knew the man, because my dad knew the man a bit, that what was he doing? He had one tipper that used to carry sand. That was the business. Carry sand to construction site. That was the business he was doing. A few years down the line, he's buying car. There was a company that, you know, when some banks went to a bust that time, they were trying to liquidate some of their collaterals and stuff for them who defaulted. There was one particular politician there who had a big, he had a small hotel. You know the way they do it now, filling station, get, you know, stuff like that. So they wanted to sell. I remember the fellow who was handling the liquidation is my uncle, all right? He's an accountant. So one day he came to town. So one of the people that offered to buy was that man. But he didn't buy because of, you know, relationships and all of that. That when they called the money, the man said, that's chicken change. You know, I don't, maybe money that when people like me heard that time, you hear like the boom, your head will echo. The man said, that one is change. But the reason why he's not buying, because they offered it to him, is that there's a kind of relationship. You don't want to buy something that used to belong to maybe a friend and stuff like that. So that's why the man didn't buy. But the why I remember the story is because my mom was saying that when they first came to town, the man just had a, you know, I had a tip. I was doing sand business, moved sand from here. But the man knew how to do business.
built it to a very large empire, had plenty of money. It didn't start from the top. What I say is a normal story of business people. It's a normal story of business people. So if you really say you know how to do business, start doing business. Start, don't not look for money. Do business. Are you getting my point? He said, what are you talking about? I'll look at it as an example. If you meet somebody like Felix and say, please, you know me. You know, say, I know go wrong with your materials. Give me these books. Let me go and sell it on campus of UNEC. If you really know how to do business, by the following week, you are giving his money. You understand? You've chopped your profit. You started again. If there's anybody going around and say, I'm just looking for capital, just know the guy is not looking for anything. He really doesn't know how to do anything. I told a story about my auntie's friend, one guy who he went abroad because he made a bad mistake, made a bad choice, went abroad when the country was getting rough. Of course, the Germans put him in prison because he entered the country wrongly. When they released him, I was there when he came back to Lagos. He came to visit my auntie. My auntie said, how can I help you? The man said, I need just one thing, a place to sleep and call my own. I was there. Not the story. I was there. Good enough, my auntie had these two rooms she had rented for her staff in Mushin. And one of the guys had left. So he said, okay, I have one room in Mushin. The man didn't care. Listen, if you tell me to pass one night in that place, I'm not going to go. No. That time, I'm not going to go. I've never been a city guy, you understand? Or just go to city traffic. No. I'm going back to where there's cool temperature. I don't. But this man moved in there. Listen, you know what he used to do? He used to go to the market where they sell motorcycle spare parts. This is a man who owned a house back in our place. 4 flats. His family sold it when he was in crisis. The guy used to hang around, whether in Aladipo or wherever, they used to sell motorcycle spare parts in Lagos. What are you looking for? You are looking for a bicycle chain. Follow me. His son was at least 20 years old. He wasn't a small boy. He didn't think it beneath him. You want a bicycle chain? Follow me. Okay, this one is a good one. You finish doing that, you dash in 50 naira. Thank you. Put it in his pocket. Within a year, he had bought a motorcycle. He had bought a second one. He had his own shop. Before he knew what was happening, the guy don't begin import spare parts. That's a businessman. Are you getting my point? That's a business. That's begging for money. Say, if I can just get a 50,000 investment, we'll see. Well, you don't know how to do anything. You don't know how to do anything. That's why you're asking, going around looking for gaining. No, you don't know. If you know how to do something, if you want to see who's doing, who can do business, show me the one that you have done. It's true. When my wife was working UBA at that time, she would leave, say she wants to go and buy ties. One day I sat her down. I said, sweetheart, assume you sell 100 ties. This tie you're selling for that 1,515. How much is the profit on the 1,500 tie? I talked plenty. That is not worth the hassle. But she said, I don't understand. That is not the money. It's just the selling. We just need to sell the tie. You know, even though... Now I keep quiet, okay, madam, go and buy tie. Because she was working in the bank and all her colleagues to wear ties. Why not? These boys are all wearing ties. Where are they getting it from? Let me go and look for where they are selling ties and come and sell to them. So when they finish working, I'll just go around. Yeah, John, buy tie. Oh yeah, I'll give you 2,250. But some people are waiting to say, when I get a millionaire, I'll start selling and buying. You don't know how to buy and sell. If you know how to buy and sell, you will start with nothing. There are those who go to market, just stand like this. Collect from here, walk 3 steps, and sell. And then return. Return money. Oh. This was a fight against unbelief. It has turned to fight against unemployment. By Saturday, nobody should be telling himself there's no work. You are working. What did I say? What did I say? He said, what if I'm a student? Listen, it's even a good time to start. Take some of your pocket money. Listen, go and sell your phone. You know, some people, they like to, in church, they say, okay, yeah, we need to do this for the work of God. You sell your phone and give to the gospel. You know it's good, amen? All right, it's good though. If you believe it's good, say amen. But now, it tells you can sell your phone. That's where I'm going to. At least, I told you can sell your phone now. So sell your phone and start your business. That's what I'm saying.
sell it and start doing something and stop telling me that there's no work. There's plenty of work. Plenty of work. And then God will have something that he can bless you through. Listen, God wants to multiply you, but 100 times zero is what? Zero. 100 times zero is zero. Another thing, I just reminded one thing I said. So this is not my passion. Don't worry about your passion. Passion is for those who have eaten. If you haven't eaten, solve the hunger problem first. Anything that is given to you, do it. Once it's legitimate, once it's something that ears can hear that the responsible man, is doing, you understand, and they won't think that it's unlawful or it's bad, do it. You will discover that, listen, don't let those who are deceiving you that, somebody you're leveled in life, go to America. People your level in life, they talk to themselves when there's no family around. And it's true. They retrain. Listen, and then let me tell you something. When you have become rich, they will see your real level in life. Do you get my point? So don't worry. But I like those who don't have shame. I have a lot of shame. One day, I told my wife something. We're driving. At night in what do you call this place? Agribank, now girls they sell recharge card there. Here now boys. Those days I used to live off that road, that's Independence layout. So when we were going home at night, now young ladies, card, they'll be pushing you up and down. So one day I stood there, I said, sweetheart, she said what? I said, do you know you can do this thing? She said, why not? It just dawned on me that my wife can stand beside the road and sell recharge card. And she said, why not? I said, no, I wasn't asking. It just dawned. I just saw one of the girls. I just see Superman walking there. she said, why not? Like, now if situation change like this, man, I don't wear jeans. Come on, what is this? Are they thief? I mean, this is not stealing. I just saw those girls hustling. Can't glue. How much? Can't your change for you? I just look. I said, sweetheart, see you. No, I like people like that too, honestly. It's good. Tell your neighbor it's good. It's very good. In life, you will be very successful. You will make it in this life. I'm telling you the truth. Someone that's doing like, Kim. Better get a good job if they suck. If they suck you on your own. People like my wife, you can't sack them. What's their problem? Like, in fact, people like my wife, you cannot sack. Now she goes sack you. My wife don't sack UBA before. I think she used to work in UBA. She used to work in UBA. One day we just started saying, after I don't harass her life, just took paper one day. Didn't even just resign with notice. Resign with 1 month's salary. Gave them a check. Dropped it. I'm traveling with my husband. Bye-bye. This is just something. What? She just resigned, took pen to paper. I'm not working again. But I told her something and the world will come to pass. I said, see all those your colleagues you left behind there? They will come to you one day to look for deposit. One day something happened. My wife, she sells things. So one day she said she went to the Access Bank, then Oceanic Bank. So there's one guy she knew in Oceanic Bank. The guy come meet and say, Madam, I beg, he has target. So I think my wife gave the guy 1 million naira to, block his target. The other guy, they look my wife like this. What? Before, because she's a sales suit, sell tie, and they say, forget this woman. When she saw this guy collect 1 million naira check to take block, target. Yeah, madam, good afternoon, ma. greeting, chief. Hey. That kind of thing. Next time, say, madam, I want suit, I want shirt, I want tie, I want shoe. If I do have singlet, anything. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What about them? They say, listen. God will bless you in Jesus' name. They say, if you put your hands to do something, God will cause it to increase in the name of Jesus Christ. God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You are bound to every good work in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your hand will be productive in Jesus' name. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Listen, you will be fruitful. Say amen, please.
Amen.
And you will multiply
amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, let nobody deceive you that there's no work. You are work walking about. You are a job creator. You are a job creator. Your presence is a blessing to somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. I have a word for you. Even though your beginning is small, your latter end will greatly increase in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Even though your beginning is small, your latter end will greatly increase in the name of Jesus Christ. It will not happen that anybody paying attention to what I've said this evening will lack in this life.
Amen.
Let me say, not only will you not lack, a time will come, you will give somebody 50 million naira and you have not even, you forget to tell your wife for a week or tell your husband. It will take over a week for it. Okay, sorry, I give an offering, it's 50 million. That is how prosperous you will be in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, it's good to give out of poverty, but more importantly, God's ideal plan is that you will give out of abundance.
Amen.
Therefore, abundance is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When Mary broke that alabaster box, I keep on saying she had it on a shelf in the house. She was that prosperous. 300 days wages, she put it in a box. That will be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will happen that when you have to break your alabaster box on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will take it off the shelf because of prosperity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death.